So up until this point, we've been learning about speaking Lashon Hara and how to be careful. But now we're going to move on to listening and believing and accepting Lashon Hara. So the pasuk says, Lo sis Hashem Hashav, not to hold any false information. So this also includes not to accept Lashon Hara, because it might be not true, whatever it is you heard. So what it means is if a person happens to be in a place where he hears Lashon Hara, so a person shouldn't accept it. He shouldn't change his attitude towards anybody. He should try to pretend that it's not true and believe it's not really true. We'll get to a case like that. Listen to hell. If you can, there's dangerous. You have to do something about it. So he says. So others say that the isser is to simply listen to Lashon Hara. Even if you plan not to accept it or believe it, it's still usser. I mean, the first approach was the isser is to believe it. If you don't believe it, okay, you can listen. The second approach is even listening, even though you're not going to believe it, even that's going to be us as well. Having your ear hear something that's bad about someone, even though you don't accept it, that itself is us according to some opinions, and a person should be careful not to listen to Lashon Hara at all, and certainly not to believe it. Now, if there's a ta'alas, or at least you get, if there's a purpose, there's a point, there's a that's real, so then it's permitted to listen to it then. If the person telling you, listen, I have a real reason to tell you something, but still, it's usher to believe it. It's still usher. You can listen to it, but can't necessarily believe it. Now, what does that mean exactly? You have to be careful when you go through some of the details. So Chazal teach that when there's a heter to speak Lashon Hara because of Toelis, and then therefore there's a heter to listen to it, what that means is you should be choshesh, you should be suspect. Don't assume so-and-so is a murderer. Don't assume he's a rob, but you should be suspect and not be alone with the guy if he's a murderer. I don't think he's Vandai. I'm still, I speculate, maybe he is, and therefore conduct yourself properly, but try not to change your full attitude to him, but be choshish. For that's again, the fine line. It's hard to how to put that in. So how exactly can you be choshish for Lashon Hara without believing it? How do you get to the point? I'm only choshish because I believe it. So according to some posts when he writes, this can be understood literally. That in a Hanami, I don't believe it's true, but I'm still going to conduct myself in a way of cautious about this individual. My attitude towards him doesn't change, my actions don't change, but I'm just extra cautious in this person's presence, whatever I heard about him was. So others disagree, and this is a level that only a malach could keep to. How do you get to such a level where I don't believe it, but I'm choshesh? And the moment you're choshesh, that means you're believing it. It's very hard. So what the post can say is one may not fully believe this information, but he may suspect that it's true. The suspicion may not manifest itself into actions. In other words, in your mind, you could process that this very well might be true, but don't act on it. Don't do anything in actions for it. So that's what it means. It's also very hard to do. I mean, if I believe something's true, by the way, how do I change my act? If I heard that guy's a murderer, he thinks he saw someone murdered, but it's not public information. Now, that's an extreme case, obviously. So how do I not change how I act? So maybe the other examples are perhaps better than this, but he gives an example right here. To help understand that missing facts can change the picture, consider the following scenario. Mr. Weiss complains to Mr. Friedman, I'm enraged at what just happened to me. I've been trying to speak to Rabbi Schwartz for weeks. Finally, we scheduled a meeting. I drove 15 minutes to get to his office, and he didn't show up. Not only that, he didn't even have the decency to tell me that he's canceling the meeting. It's difficult for Mr. Friedman to imagine that Mr. Weiss, his trusted friend, fabricated the entire story. However, he can reason, I know that Rabbi Schwartz is a responsible person. It's completely out of character for him to miss a meeting. I'm aware of the fact that his wife has heart condition and has been taken to the hospital a number of times over the past few months. I wonder if a medical emergency arose and Rabbi Schwartz had to rush her to the hospital. If such a crisis arose, it's understandable that he was unable to call Mr. Weiss to cancel the appointment. So here he listened to Lashon Hara, but he didn't believe it. He thought of down the cops close. He thought another way around how to reinterpret the facts in such a way that maybe it's not true. So maybe he'll be choshish next time if he schedules a meeting himself with this individual. Maybe it's possible he'll be late. Maybe he's not so responsible, but he didn't really change the attitude, and he certainly didn't change the way he acted. Now, another thing he points out, Poskim say, is you can believe Lashon Hara when the words themselves are not derogatory, even if they shed a negative light on the subject when combined with other factors. So let's say a person's telling you something, nothing bad, But because you know other factors in putting pieces together, you can actually make a conclusion from that. So then you could believe things. No one's trying to tell Lashon Hara. He didn't tell Lashon Hara. So he gives you an example. Well, on Sunday morning, Yosef asks Mendy if he's able to study with him. Mendy responds that he cannot since he is sick with high fever. Okay, fine. On Monday, Yaakov, unaware of the previous conversations, mentions to Yosef that he and Mendy had a great time at the beach Sunday afternoon. Now, there's nothing wrong with it. He had the beach. But now he put two things together and he concluded that he lied, actually, when he said he was sick when he really wasn't. So now he knows he's a liar. You could believe that because he put facts together. Nobody spoke Lashon Hara there. Everyone spoke, fine. But that could be, sometimes you could conclude a belief in Lashon Hara, a belief of something, even though it's not Lashon Hara. That's like the opposite. Now, the Chavetz Chaim writes about another situation in which it's permissible to listen to Lashon Hara. When the listener feels that he will be able to convince the speaker that they have misinterpreted the situation or otherwise justify the subject, the Lashon Hara. So sometimes, Reuven thinks something bad about Shimon. Now Levi wants to convince Reuven otherwise. So Levi's allowed to listen to Reuven badmouth Shimon. If Levi's whole intention is to convince Reuven otherwise, in the end of the day, he said, Reuven, that's not what happened. That's the Shimon didn't do anything wrong. And then that way, it would undo what happened. That would be another interesting way to listen to Lashon Hara, why it might be okay. This might be a heter. We didn't speak about therapists, but therapists listen to all types of things, and they hear all types of Lashon Hara, and often, as part of the process many times. But hopefully the therapist is trying to give light to certain things. Sometimes it's factual, you can't change the reality. But sometimes the therapist is a way to listen, and then maybe you could say, maybe there's a bit different understanding. Maybe the parent, maybe the spouse had a different angle, and that would be a heter to listen to Lashon Hara in general.
What if you know for a fact that the other guy is not going to listen to how you're responding?
So if that's the case, then it's not going to work. If you know he's not going to be convinced by you, then there's nothing to be done at this point.
I don't know, maybe it's the theater,
even the therapist.
It's either, what do you mean?
If you're talking about it, you say, no, you don't know what you're talking about. He's like, Mama Jurassic.
No, that's not your obligation at that point.
Meaning, but if you know he's not going to respond properly, and you say another thing to him to try and convince him otherwise, he's for sure going to respond.
No, therefore you shouldn't listen to it.
I'm saying, what?
At least you're saying Shimon could listen to Reuven's Lashon Hara. Shimon could convince him that Levi's good. Reuven won't listen. If I try to convince him that Levi's a good guy, he won't listen to me. Okay. Now, what should one do if he finds himself among others who are speaking Lashon Hara? What's an Eitzah? You sometimes a Shabbos table and people are speaking Lashon Hara. You're talking around a bunch of guys speaking Lashon Hara. What do you do? What are the just basic halachic requirements, and then some good piece of advice how to avoid this. So the first thing is tochacha, rebuke. Tell the guy he's doing something wrong. That's the most ideal. However, nowadays, no one accepts rebuke properly, and it's a very hard thing to do. So he writes here, the halachas of how to properly give rebuke are complex and very subtle as they apply to our generation. So in general, contemporary posts can greatly minimize the situations in which one gives rebuke. One should not rebuke another person unless directed by Rav. So this is not really a good option for you guys to do. If, let's say, I'm sitting at a table with you guys, I could rebuke you guys. It might be easier in my position, but a Rebbe to a Talmid, it might be easier. But other than that, it's really very difficult to give proper tochacha. And even a Rebbe to a Talmid doesn't always go so well. Be very, very careful how it works out. Now, the most practical way is to just try to gear the conversation in a different way. Talk about a different topic, whatever it might be. It's always good if you're going to a suda and you're concerned that might happen, think of other topics. Now, as an Eitzah Tova, people may not appreciate you trying to bring the Torah up every single time. It may not be appreciated. It could work in some instances. Others, it may not be appreciated. It might be counterintuitive. That might want to make them fight harder. So think of other power of conversations, whether it's current events, or sports, or other topics, who knows, about the weather. So think of something else in case that might be an acceptable way to gear the conversation in a proper way.
Now,
it can be a joke guy if you want, as long as they're certainly...
You shouldn't say, can we talk about something else? Right?
Just that's not going to work.
Just go like...
It depends too. I mean, if you're new guys or yeshiva, and, they know they're doing the wrong thing, you could say, let's talk about something else. It might work. You have to know your crowd. You know the crowd.
If you're those guys in yeshiva who know, one word and might accept the review,
if you know they'll accept it, but how do you know they're going to accept it? That's a big question mark. Now, If there's no way to stop the conversation, just get up and leave. That's it. Just get up and leave. Walk out. And if this is extremely embarrassing and one cannot bring himself to leave, there can be justification found for remaining there. If you're like stuck and it might be uncomfortable, whatever reason you're stuck, you can't leave. Who knows why? So then the Chavos Chaim says a few things you must do. Make up your mind firmly not to believe anything that you hear. You must be unhappy about the fact that he's forced into hearing it, like be very upset. And you should not show facial expression that indicates that he approves or agrees with what they're saying. Indeed, a facial expression should preferably indicate that he does not approve of the conversation. Sad face, whatever face you want to do. So I'm not accepting anything. That's one. Number two is I'm not happy to be here. And thirdly, like show your disappointment. Okay, without being too rebuking, because that would be counterintuitive as well. Okay. Now, Chazal provided an exception to the prohibition of believing Lashon Hara, where the Dvar Mahanikarm, where the indicative factors that the listener sees evidence that Lashon Hara that he heard is correct, so then he could believe it. If he sees the guy with the knife in his hand and there's blood there, so though you can't prove in Bezdin without Adam there, but you could assume he murdered the guy by yourself, so that's if the guy told you, and then you saw it, it's not going to be true, so then that's a good, strong evidence that you could believe it as well. Now, when it's Lashon Hara that's Milsa, the Avida L'Gluya, that will eventually become public information, is also permitted to be believed. So, whatever that case, I'm not sure an example, but something will be true, it will be public information, I don't know, be in the newspapers, front pages, that so-and-so did so-and-so, it will be Milsa David Leguye, that also a person could believe now that you heard that so-and-so is going to be in the front page of the New York Times tomorrow for tax evasion. So even though it's not public yet, I can believe it because I know it's going to be printed on the front page of the New York Times.
Speak about this in general.
It's Rechilis, probably. There's no Tehillis. It's not, it's even though it's public, you want to speak about those things anyway. Rechilis is just like gossiping, for no purpose. Like, you hear what happened to so and so? It may not be Lashar because it's public information, but Rechilis is just trying to continue the movement of things, spreading. Even if it's not bad, it's
this whole thing is only if you're in a situation where you have to listen.
Right. This situation is, if you heard something, someone told you something that's going to be eventually public, so then that won't be Lashon Hara. That has to be objective facts, it can't be subjective facts. This is very, very important. Let's say someone gets thrown in jail. It happens, unfortunately, happened to people who I know. And what do you believe versus not what believing? I know they're in jail now, but do I believe what they did was true? So the fact is they're in jail, but how much do you believe of the facts that go along with it is a very tricky thing, especially with the court systems. How much do we trust the court system, the American court systems, what the evidence is like, what the witnesses are like? So it becomes a very tricky thing. I don't know what to do in those situations. I know at first when I heard the first person who I knew go to jail, I thought like he never did something wrong. Someone convinced me otherwise, that's not necessarily true. You don't believe everything that comes out of the court system. So I don't know. Even though it's public information, doesn't mean you believe all the details and facts of it. It may not be facts. It might not be objective. I don't know how to read court filings. I don't know how to read evidence of witnesses. So just be careful what's objective, what's considered subjective. And finally, it has to come from a reliable person, a Ish Neman, who's telling you to make sure that's true and that you could actually really believe it. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you.